Hey everyone, this is Will from the Mature Minded Gamers, and today I am joined by Eric.
Hey everybody.
And today we are going to be talking about Hell, the Last Saga from Mythic Games, a game that I am very excited about. I am about to hit the Back This Project button as soon as we are done with this video. I cannot wait for this game. I love me some Vikings.
Spoilers, Will, spoilers.
Oh my goodness.
Vikings are the hottest thing right now, aren't they?
Absolutely.
We got the new Assassin's Creed coming in a full force. We've had several other games over the last couple of years bringing the Vikings into the 2020 era. I think it's going to overtake zombies finally. I mean, who is not ready to lose to zombies?
Well, there's a lot more in this horror game, but this one is fully cooperative, 1-4 narrative game. I love me some narrative story games, and the fact that this one has... some cooperative elements and the Viking theme, and it's by Mythic. I think it hits all of the buttons for me. I'm very excited. So
Mythic has been knocking it out of the park lately.
Absolutely, I mean, they have.
Fantasy Brawl, the Reich, was it called Reich Brothers?
Reich Busters,
excuse me. I knew I was close on that.
Right. You've also got Joan of Arc 1.5 coming out here soon.
Would you have that one? And I still haven't got to play it because of the whole pandemic thing going on, but I cannot wait for you to bring that over.
It is amazing. I love it. Love it. Love it. You know, the one Mythic game that I have yet to play that I really want to is Mythic Battles Pantheon. I have just heard so many good things about that. I really want to get that one as well. All right, so let's take a look at this one. You've got just launched today, 13 days ago. It's already at $400,000. This is absolutely nuts. Let's scroll down the page here, and it gives you a very awesome art. What do you think of this art on this horse? It's got like the cow skull on the top, like the armor.
Oh, you know, it's funny. Amazing. I didn't know what you meant by horse. I'm like, there's no horse on this page. Yeah, it is really well done.
Yeah, it's really cool. The two birds, that you know, when he's holding one on top of his head, it's so awesome, man. So, you know, 18 plus, so really adult themes here, it looks like. You've got about an hour and a half time frame, 1-4, solo mode included. You've got... The map, the minis, oh my goodness. Let's keep scrolling through here and let's kind of talk about some more of this art. Lost or Damned? What do you think of these characters?
Well, they're very thematic. They look very much like Vikings and what I expect, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They look cool. I like the artwork for them. I'm anxious to see what they do differently, you know, sure. How they're separate. I mean, you can come to some conclusions. The one looks like a hag. It's probably like an old witch of some sort. You have like the younger.
You got the young kid there.
Right. You got a young kid who's probably like a ranger, maybe, you know. I don't know. I come to these things in my head, but maybe I'm wrong. You got the old sight, the old seer.
Uh-huh. The white eyes.
Yeah. You got the guy with the bandage eyes. Over his eye. Yep. Oh, yeah. The crazy guy.
All right. So this one, it says, is a cooperative fantasy adventure Viking board game created by Duo Smog, Rise of Moloch by Simon, game designer David Ricardo, and art director Christoph Madura. It offers the chance to lead a small group of heroes, each with their own rank, occupation, and background. The survivors have to cooperate to survive the cold, hunger, and hostile threats. Man, we like these survival games. I think this is going to be right up our alley.
I mean, survival goes right in with Vikings. It's the hottest new genre, man. I'm the video game side of the mature minded gamers, and this and board games and video games almost always go hand in hand. I mean, if a board game can do it or a video game can do it, one of them is successful, then you almost see the other genre just follow suit, or the other media just follow suit.
Right. You know, something that I'm pretty interested in this is the fact that you know, normally what Mythic has done in their other Kickstarters, you know, is they've launched the base game, right? And then in the add-on, the Pledge Manager, you have these expansions you can buy, and you've got to add all these other boxes to it, and then it's going to be like $300-$400 Kickstarter. You know, and when you initially look at it, it's like, oh, $100 for the base game. But then when you get to the pledge manager, it's like, oh, I'm gonna want the expansion. Well, I'm gonna want this box. I'm gonna want this box. So one of the things that they're doing different here is a unique and exceptional product. They decided to sell it not in the usual form of relatively contained core box to be completed with optional gameplay expansions, but to put everything together in one unique pledge containing absolutely everything you need to play. Everything is there, all of the stories divided into 13 boxes, all of the elements of the game, all of the gameplay, and anything that is going to be add-on is optional purchase that do not contain gameplay. I love it.
I totally agree with you. I hate not being able to choose which one I want. And like you said, what's it called? FOMA? Fear of missing out or something like that?
Right.
And you don't get that because guess what? There's one option. So you're either in or you're not. I love it. Right.
And if you want the added stuff, like, I mean, I'll be honest. I when I get the art books, like, I back some games from, you know, like Awakened Realms. And I'll get the all in because I want everything. And I'll get, like, these art books and things. I'm like, what am I going to do with these? You know, I'm going to get these art cards or stuff that I'm like, let's just – it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't – I don't play with it. I mean, I'm not going to put it on the wall. You know, so it ends up sitting on the shelf or in a box or whatever. And then, you know, years later, I'm like, well, I'm just going to throw this away. What am I going to do with it? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not – I like art. I like to look at it, but I'm not going to pull out the book and just – scroll through it. It's just not for me. I know it's, you know, not for everybody, but so I'm jazzed about that. So let's take a look at what is in the pledge for only $129. You get the rule book, which is 44 pages. You get a saga book, which is 200 pages, 13 song boxes. So that must be the song boxes must be like the chapters.
Oh yeah, that's how Viking mythology. That's how they told stories, right?
Right.
I get it. It's nice.
111 miniatures, 5 mystery boxes included, 12 dice, which we're going to get into in a minute, 16 hero dashboards, 1 camp game board, which is a 600 by 620 millimeter board, 60 expedition tiles. So think of like an exploration game. Not really, but similar when you think of like Seventh Continent or Tainted Grail, where you're going to be going around exploring what's around you, but you still got a set number of tiles. There's only 60, so it's not like, you know, when you go to a card, you won't see that card because you won't even be in that area again. You can reveal the same ones over and over every, you know, every different song you play, I guess.
Right.
572 cards, 380 terror-sized cards. Man, Mythic loves the terror-sized cards. 164 poker cards and 108 mini euro cards, and then 20 card separators. That is a lot of cards.
Yes, it is. I love it.
8 vinyl sticker sheets. Stickers? Huh. 20 wooden blocks. 1 save notepad. 1 clan board and 4 player aids. I do like it when games have player aids.
Hell yeah.
There's a lot that you're seeing.
They're a must on these big box games.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm looking through here, like, and it looks like the one of the books here, you know, it's spiral bound. That's gonna be nice. Plus stretch goals. All right, man. There's just a lot of content for $130. And I love the art of the box. I really hope they stick with this style for the art of the box. What do you think of that? With the white and the red, just very simple.
Yeah. You know what? I completely agree with you. Sometimes they get all these weird images and it's dark. You can't tell what the hell you're looking at. And this, you're going to be able to look at it from your shelf and see exactly what game you're looking for. Mm-hmm. There it is. I'm grabbing it.
I think white in one solid color, I think it just pops.
Right.
I mean, you know, you may get it dirty or whatever, but I don't know. That just shines. That just screams out to me. It's like, oh, what is this? You know, there's a lot of content in there. So some of the stretch goals you see, you got at 170,000 as... You get a fire campfire token. I don't really see that as a need to be a miniature, but I really like this one here, though, the 3 threat bags. And I'm not sure as far as like how threat works, but I love it. I love bags. I love dice bags. I like especially their different colors. I'm imagining maybe the different levels of threats with different icons on them.
Yeah, that would make sense. I bet you're right.
What do you think of this? The tokens for wood or actually like little pieces of wood. These looks like they could just roll right off the table. Why not just have the cardboard?
Well, I mean, normally I agree with you completely because it keeps the cost down. But I can't complain about the cost right now, so I like it.
Sure. But, I mean, do you think that with the wood being rounded like that, they're just going to roll off the table and just be more of a pain?
I mean, who plays a big board game like this now and doesn't have a mat, though?
That's true. Well, I mean, but there's no gameplay stretch goals. I wonder if – do you think – would you consider a game mat a gameplay element?
Oh, man. I think for the right game, yeah. But not for all games at the same time, so I don't know if I would consider that.
Sure. You have some alternate sculpts for something. I don't know exactly what this is. It looks cool. I like the second sculpt. I don't know, though. That mask on the first one looks pretty cool. Very creepy looking.
I really like their artwork a lot. I think they really dove into the darker. I mean, Vikings are dark anyways, but kind of more of the darker side, if there is such a thing.
These cardboard spawn tokens. Got the plastic minis now. Those look awesome, all the bone piles. That's creepy. Well, whatever this little creature thing is though. Huh. You know what that is?
It looks like the guy from World of Warcraft, doesn't it? I can't think of what they're called.
I have no idea.
It's been too long.
Like the Moonkin?
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, maybe that was them. I don't remember now. It's been too long since I played WoW, but
absolutely. These look really tiny, like little like forest creatures. The spears. I like the skulls hanging off the bone. That looks awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice details on the miniatures.
The plastic food tokens, those look awesome. I dig those quite a bit. Survivor token, you got a new mini for that, extra miniature. You know, the thing is, like, with Mythic, though, their minis are really good.
I've been impressed with everything I've seen from them so far.
Got an alternate sculpt on this one. And then, ooh, looks like we're getting some golden plastic morale tokens. And then a hint at something for 400,000. Really can't see what that is.
I'm sure we will before long, though, how fast this thing's moving.
Well, absolutely. What's the pledge at right now? What's the...
Let me scroll back up because I'm sure it's jumped since we've been up there. Yeah, it broke 400K.
All right, so that should be updating soon. All right, so they go on to talk about the stretch goals. They talk about the cardboard tokens can become full miniatures, a group of enemies, and one similar pose can now be represented in alternate sculpts. The gameplay content remains the same, but the gameplay experience will be improved and the overall component quality will be further enhanced. So really, that's really their stretch goal plans, which is cool. Not going to be adding a whole bunch of extra stuff, which I dig. Because, you know, we've talked about in other Kickstarter previews, do you really need 8, 9, 10 boxes to play one game? I mean, I rarely even get to any of the expansion boxes. You know, like, for example, I've played Nemesis, I don't know, like maybe 5 or 6 times, and I've just only really played the core. I know I'm missing out, I'm sure, on a lot of stuff. I've played Reichbusters a couple times now. I think 4 times, and I've opened up the cargo hold, but I haven't opened up any of the expansions yet, and I'm still having a blast. I don't really need all that, those 4 or 5 other boxes of just plastic miniatures.
Man. So
in fact, if they could just include all like the rules to give me all the rule expansions in one box and lower the amount of plastic in there, I'd be fine with that.
That's one thing I hate about how video games and board games both do it, is you get all these expansions. I mean, back in the day, you bought a video game, and if they came out with a free update, you got it for free.
Right.
Now they just nickel and dime you. And then what's really bad about board games is, okay, well, you bought an expansion, and you want to keep the pieces with the main box. There's no room for them.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have both boxes, or it looks terrible when you open it because it's not organized. And it's frustrating. Right. So I'm glad they did it this way.
Or they release a core game, you know, and there is something like completely broken about it, and they release an expansion to fix some issues. You know, like one of the big games that for me stands out is Star Wars Rebellion by Fantasy Flight. A very decent game in and of itself, just combat was horrible. So they released an expansion to fix it. It's like, wouldn't you think you'd fix that before you released it?
Right.
Make it good before you put it out. All right. So next, a little bit lower past the stretch goals information, you've got some more art on here. Oh my gosh, that Viking on top looks awesome with that helmet. Arms outstretched with the two swords. Oh gosh. And then, you know, you've got this like wild woman here with the crazy eyes.
That's I think I love that crazy eyed lady. That's who I'm gonna play.
The third one here, that's straight up you right there with the beard, man.
Man, I wish I was that manly.
I could see you putting some face paint on and going that for Halloween. Oh, man, whatever this creepy yellow-eyed thing is. It kind of looks like a werewolf kind of creature thing, but I don't know if werewolves are really Viking lore or not.
They have a lot of creatures that aren't really brought up too much. You start to see more and more of them, though, in all the games, which is interesting. I mean, all I don't know enough to go into details, but
yeah,
if you show me that monster, I would be able to tell you it's Viking mythology.
Looking down a little bit further down the page, you've got a really tall looking miniature with a bunch of horns, long hair. Wow. You got a bunch of bones hanging off the neck. Like a Slender Man style. Looks like the minis for the creatures and the heroes are going to be different colors, which is nice, especially if you're a non-painter. I know you don't like to paint your stuff, and I do it to a point. I won't sit here and paint all of my board games, but if a game really shines for me, yeah, I'll definitely sit down and paint them. But
you know, it's a known fact I don't like to paint, but you know who does like to paint? And I thought about this the other day. My daughter is an artist through and through. And I bet you she would absolutely love to paint one of these. So I was going to ask you if you have some that you don't care too much about that we could maybe get her started on and see how she does.
Absolutely. Get some models over to you, some paints, and have her go to town on something.
Because I still got my Fallout figurines, but I care about them. So, you know, I'm going to let you throw junk at her.
Sounds like a plan. All right. So down further on the page, it gives you a little bit kind of example of the narrative structure, and it looks like you're going to be drawing the cards. You've got tokens on the board, and it's going to reference a song that tells you then what chapter to read. Looks like that some decisions need to be made. What do you think of this as opposed to a number on the tile?
I like it because it's different. I like things that do things a little bit different. I mean, it's the same. Obviously, it's going to work out the same way, but I like it.
You do feel like once you do a song once and you know the examples, I mean, I'm not really sure if this is character specific because you've got the guy with the eye patch and clearly that isn't the mini for that character. So it doesn't look like it's character specific. It looks like it's just a generic, says song. What does it say on the top there? It says song one, the bloody horn, and then a mass grave made up of magma of decomp, and then that was it.
I think your songs are going to be your personal missions. Does that make sense?
Well, 16 characters, 13 songs. I think the songs are more like the chapters.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
These events can be hidden on the game board. Ooh. Can be hidden on the game board, placed on the turn track, or any other game component. The story unfolds as you resolve these chapters by making choices, performing tests, or simply listening. There may be clues in the story as you read it of where you maybe need to find or what you need to go do.
I love that about Seventh Continent.
That's pretty awesome.
So that has me kind of excited.
Well, that, you know, that's something that I really like with Tainted Grail as well. They do something similar as well. All right, you also got some unique characters, play strong characters. Each clan member has their own story, strengths, and weaknesses. You will learn about them as you play them by acquiring new individual heroes in a non-linear way. Some of these cards will be the result of choices you made during the adventure, so you may not be able to see all 16 characters when you play through. Huh, that's kind of crazy.
Think you kind of unlock them like you do in Gloomhaven? You unlock them as you go, as you unlock songs or whatever?
Yeah, it's quite possible.
I kind of hope that's how it is. I like games like that. It keeps you wanting to play.
Right, absolutely. You know, wants you to keep advancing the story so you can see all the content. I mean, and it really takes a lot of a lot of self, what's the word I'm looking for? Reservation to not open up all those boxes when you rip open your game too. So I don't know how many times I've sat down, looked through my Gloomhaven stuff, and been like, oh, I want to open up these character boxes I haven't seen yet, you know?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you get that with any legacy game. I remember the first time I opened Pandemic Legacy, and I'm like, oh, I want to see what's in this. This box says do not open. Oh, I want to open it now.
Looks like this character, his looks like from what I can understand, his name is Warsong, maybe. Oh no, Heming, the Scald. There we go. Looks like he has an ability called Warsong. Heming grants combat to nearby active heroes. So not everybody can combat? Looks like you got some cards for the characters. And it goes on to talk about the scenario based. Conquer a mysterious land, found a colony, and resolve mysteries. Scouting missions, search or rescue parties, raids, escape, defense, investigation, or intrigue. There's a lot of cards, looks like, in each chapter. I wonder how they're going to get all that in the box.
You know, I always wondered that on some of these, like especially the early prototypes. Like, is this really going to be the size of the box? Can you really fit all this in there? But you know, most of the time you open them up and somehow they've got them packed in there like a sardine.
Well, and that's just packaged as far as like with the token sheets, non-punched. Then once you punch those games, it's like nigh impossible to get everything back in the box without having the expansion boxes.
That's true.
Predators and prey face hidden threats, which are controlled by predation-based AI system. Use your perception and your pets to detect these threats before you face them, as an ambush can be fatal. Your enemies are vicious enough to target the most vulnerable, the highest-ranking members of your group. That's cool. I'll just make sure that you are always the one that gets attacked. Interesting system. Looks like it basically through the card, it tells you from which token you're looking at. It goes through and tells you who it's going to target of the options. Got a worship system. Beg your gods to help you. Use your willpower, offerings, and fervor of your companions to obtain permanent modifiers. That's cool. So like the prayers you do are really going to be what, how you level up, how you perk up. And I think this is where you're really going to be in love with this game, with the survival portion of it. Exploit scarce resources to survive and keep your clan together. Hunt for food. Collect that precious wood. That'll be a source of heat and essential material for constructions. And then I'm loving this horror. These guys hanging from the trees. Oh man, that's so awesome looking. Now, this is kind of what I'm curious about. So apparently the night will fall for months. Second half of the campaign will take place into darkness, but only the heroes who survive long enough to see the sunset forget every little knowledge or petty victory acquired. New rules, new threats, new objectives. So it's going to be almost like a completely different way you play the game when it reach nighttime. What do you think of that?
I mean, we've seen that in a couple other games. I'm not opposed to it. I'm fine with it as long as it doesn't change it too drastic. I do hate when I think I know a way to play a game and then something shifts it and I lose whatever I had planned. I can't do it. And so I hope it's not like a random thing, if that makes sense. I hope it's like a, you know, how day and night works on a time system. And it's not like, oh, well, you rolled a three, so now it's nighttime or something like that. But I doubt they would do that.
No. It says second half of the campaign will take place in darkness.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking that it would change throughout the
Well,
game. Okay. Well,
we've
that
kind
could
of
be fine.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of seen something similar with Frostgrave coming out here soon. That's going to be in the winter, and you got the summer. You know, winter's going to be a little bit harsher. So I'm imagining that they're taking ideas that are similar to that or something to that nature. I mean, we've kind of seen, like you said, other games that do something similar. You get to be able to download the rule book directly from the website or from the Kickstarter page here, which is really cool. So you can check that out. Camp or explore. Again, we've got a pretty decent sized mat. campaign game board, or excuse me, camp game board. So it's probably where you're going to be growing your village. Got some tiles. So I'm curious to see, as far as like the camp itself, is that really like where you're out and about and exploring? Or is the camp like set to the side and you've got the tiles that are just on the table? Looks like the sticker sheets are going to be for perks and maybe prayers that you're going to glue on or stick onto your character sheets. Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like there's a spot for them. What do you think of that, putting stickers on your components?
Not a huge fan of that, personally.
I'm not either, man.
You can get messy. You can get messy. It's just one more thing you're liable for. It's like those damn take and bake pizzas.
You're screwed.
Right, man. Come on.
Bake it for me.
I'll put that sticker on, cockeyed. That son of a bitch ain't going to come off. It's going to be cockeyed the whole time.
Right, but so think of like, you know, you're playing Pandemic Legacy and you put sticker on the board itself. I mean, you got one time you're going to put that sticker on. You can't play it again. You're going to rip up a component. So, I mean, does that really make this a legacy game because you're going to be modifying some of these heroes?
I mean, that's how I generally think of it.
So, I mean, that just lowers my replayability for this game drastically.
Well, we see games do this a lot now, though. That your final...
Really
your
play it again.
Well, right, and your final game is considered your final game, or your final board or whatever.
Sure. So this is something that I wanted to look at. There's six medium-sized dice and six small-sized dice. Why do we need different sized dice? They look like they're the same face on the dice themselves. Maybe a little bit differences. I can't really 100% tell. But I'm wondering why two different sizes. And why not just two different colors? So that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't really understand it either, because why are they the same? There's different sizes.
Right.
It really doesn't make any sense. Unless you know how sometimes there's like a big meeple and a small meeple and it comes into play later on? Like you roll both dice, perhaps, and then, you know, if your small dice is one and your large dice is the same or something, it does something different, maybe. But I don't like crazy mechanics like that, so I hope not. I hope I'm way off. Maybe it's just bad perspective.
Right. I don't know. The save notepad could bring things into that as well. I don't know. I mean, I'm almost to the point where I would make copies of the stickers and just cut it out. Or have like a reference sheet for my character, mark what I've got, you know?
Right.
There's 100 hostile cards. You've got 260 fate cards. I wonder if this is kind of like the randomness for like the adventure and the story. Not really the actual campaign itself, not like the main quest, but like the side things, that side events and things. But you've also got the book, that journal. You got lots of hero cards, 90 of them. But 90 cards for 16 characters. Doesn't seem like a lot. I wonder how many cards each character has. 80 item cards. What do you think of mini size, those mini poker cards? What do you think of those little cards?
I'm not a big fan of mini cards. I like the bigger size you hold in your hand. I tend to drop them for some reason.
Right.
I get why they do it. I understand, but...
It's a cost saver. Yeah, no, I get it. I'm with you.
And then here's the thing, you know, you got to get sleeves for them if you want to sleeve them. And then good luck finding that damn size.
I hate how tiny they are. I mean, and they're harder, like you have a whole stack of them, 80 of them. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but like what you said, if you do sleeve it, I mean, you spend a lot on these board games. If you sleeve the cards, you stack the cards, they're not going to stand up. They're going to fall over. You try to pick up the stack, they go flipping out of your hand. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. I love these tarot-sized cards, though. I like the bigger size. If they would have just put everything on poker size, everything on that size, I'd be good. You got a clan dashboard, lots of tokens, which hopefully we'll see going into more miniatures. Here we're going to get into the heroes: Alvar, Bergen, Jorik, Erica. There you are, Eric.
Great name.
Yep. Drang, Gerolf. He's the crazy-eyed guy. Petronella? I don't know how to say that. Hemming. There's that Skald we saw earlier. Frodi. Looks like a Hun. You got Ingwild, which is the crazy, like what looks like a witch. Lescaline, Nor, Oslog. Huh. The picture in the mini on Oslog does not match. I don't know why the head. I don't know. Just looks weird.
I see it. It is a little different, but I'm sure this is all, you know, prototype stuff.
Sure. And you've got some miniature galleries that you can look at. You can go into each one of these and you can see the different different miniatures that are included in the game, kind of examples of how to paint them, the hunters, hunter twos, the champion hunters, wolf spirits. Some really cool things as far as like what you can see on the website here. The five mystery boxes. Doesn't really tell you much as far as like what's going to be in those. Again, the art of that bear with the blood coming in the face. I tell you what, I think this is definitely a game that I'm going to have to look at. I'm going to download the rule book, check out the rules. They talk about shipping. Now, shipping is one thing we've talked about, and I know it's kind of been one of those things with Mythic recently. People have been upset about different costs for shipping. They talk about $34 for U.S. shipping. That's not bad. I mean, with the pledge for $130, shipping being $34, you're getting out of here for $170 shipped to your house. What do you think? Is this a $170 game?
Man, you know my stance on this. I hate spending that much money on a board game because I don't play board games very much. But I do think if this is something that I was interested in, it's a reasonable price for what you're getting, because you're getting a bunch of stuff. And I love the fact that there's, like we mentioned earlier, there's only one tier. I don't have to get pegged, nickel and dime to get all the extra stuff.
Right. I mean, because we've talked about games like this, you know, I think on Super Fantasy Brawl, or what wasn't Super Fantasy Brawl? What was it? I think it was the Mythic, the Joan of Arc 1.5. I think I ended up spending like $300 just to get some of the expansions. And all I was going in for was the 1.5 rules and the new knights. And, you know, ended up coming out of it spending a lot more. And I really think they're onto something with this. I wish they would have done Steam Watchers, very similar to this, with everything in one box, which was their previous Kickstarter. I think for $130, it's reasonable. And I think this is definitely something, if you like Vikings and you like narrative games, then you definitely need to back it. All right, everyone, that was The Hell, The Last Saga from Mythic Games. And this was Will and...
that one studly guy, Eric.
From the Mature Minded Gamers. Hit that like and subscribe button. And until then, we will catch you guys later. Be safe.